Blog Talk Radio.
Come the sound of every blessing to my heart to sing thy grace. Strings of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me
Brothers and sisters, and welcome to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. This is Sister Carla with Sister Powell, and I will open her line so she can give us a word of prayer. I just want to thank you for joining us this evening. Amen. We're just going to play an audio message this evening. Okay, I think Sister Powell's line, let me see if this is her line, 518-951, your line is open.
Okay, all right, good. You hear me, Amen. Sister Carla?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, I can hear
you. Good evening, brothers and sisters on Advent Light Prayer Line. This is Sister Carla and Sister Powell. Sorry for the delay, but we will be praising the Lord by listening to a sermon. So we just ask everyone, let us relax and sit back and just listen to the message. So we will all go into a word of prayer now. Let's pray. Kind and loving Father, we come before you this moment to say thank you. Lord, we thank you for your love that you have extended upon us. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you for food. We thank you for clothing. We thank you for sheltering. We thank you that we can have a dear Heavenly Father who loves and cares for his children. So we come to you tonight, myself and Sister Carla, just to let you know how much we appreciate everything that you have done for us. Words cannot express, but we just want to say, Lord, thank us. Thank you for forgiving us of all our many sins. Thank you for leading us into righteousness. And thank you that you have gone to prepare a place for us and that you will come again to receive us unto your own. So we just want to say to you, thank you, Father. We pour out our heart to you. We present all the requests that your children have, Lord. Our children is having great concern about what is happening, what is taking place around us. But you told us that these things will happen. All we have to do is to look up our redemption draw nigh. We know that your coming is near. Help us to be ready, not to prepare, but help your children that we all will be get ready. Lord, at this time, dear God, I place my brothers and sisters to you. Sister Leola, who traveled, Lord, to family members. Lord, there was sick sister-in-law. We are asking you, Lord Jesus, to touch her from the crown of her head and allowing her to be made whole. Father God, we also present Sister Franklet, Lord, from Connecticut to you, who is in the hospital, Lord. You know all things about her. We ask you for your healing. Oh, God, we present Sister Brenda and Sister Brother John to you, Sister Mary, dear God, Sister Abbott, Sister Carl and her children, Lord, as she will be preparing to go to work, Lord. You see the desire of her heart, Lord. We also present to you tonight, Brother Udi, Lord, Sister Melissa, and young Carlo, Lord, Caleb, Lord, and the new one who is coming. Lord, we present them to you, Father God. Continue to pour out your blessings. We also present the youth convocation to you that will be taking place on January 25. Lord, we ask you to give us a good weather and allow your youth, dear God, that they will come out. Father, we see that troubles is on every side. Trials, tribulation, persecution. Lord, what the government is doing, what the churches is doing. We saw all these things. But Father, help us to keep our eyes upon you. Tonight, dear Lord, as the message play, we present each one that we will listen to your word. Comfort us, Lord. Give Sister Carla traveling mercy that she will reach the work safely, Lord, and to bring comfort to those patients. Bless us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' loving name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for that prayer. I believe we'll go ahead and play the message, and just want to thank you again, brothers and sisters, for joining us. May you continue to be blessed by the word of God. May you continue to intercede for others and keep us in prayer as a whole and the world as a whole, because we know the Lord is soon to come and we need to get our homes in order. We need to get our life in order. And the title of the message is Set Your House in Order. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, just a moment, Sister Paul. Your phone should be muted. Can mute it. Amen. Computer's moving a little slow.
Immortal, invisible. Steps to Christ. Chapter 4. Confession. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true Mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the Word of Truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of His power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in His ability to defend and vindicate His cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us. "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgement of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. At first, their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3, 12 and 13. Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden? These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit and will not be acceptable to God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Like the poor publican, not lifting up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he will cry, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And those who do acknowledge their guilt will be justified, for Jesus will plead his blood in behalf of the repentant soul. The examples in God's word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. Paul did not seek to shield himself. He paints his sin in the darkest hue, not attempting to lessen his guilt. He says, "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11. He does not hesitate to declare that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary, and as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God. And it is written, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1, 9. End of chapter 4.
Good evening again, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our program this evening. I am Brother Yudi, and I'm taking over for Sister Carla. We want to thank the Lord for those who are joining us on this program tonight, and we are thankful that we were able to spend a blessed day in the Lord. I know that I had a wonderful Sabbath, and we are preparing for the wonderful 3-day weekend of praises and worship as we look forward to the youth convocation right here in upstate New York. Beloved, I have good news. I just, among the many that are calling to register for this event, we received a call. We know what could happen in this area in January. And we are told that the enemy has studied the secrets in the laboratories of nature. So he's able to manipulate the weather. But God is greater than him, and God is able to do above all that we can ask or think. I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. We're going to open up with testimonies. I want to focus on chapter and steps to Christ that you were listening to. I want to look at the scriptures that we heard, and the book Steps to Christ. We are in that little chapter entitled Confession. Steps to Christ. We are in confession, and we're going to start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your light. We thank you for Advent Light Ministry and for giving us an opportunity to be here on this program this evening. Lord, we want to lift up before your presence Sister Leola, who was unable to host due to them visiting a sick family member. I pray that at this given time that you would be with this family member at this time, that you will give them your healing virtues and power, and that you will touch this individual from their beds, and that, dear Father, you would send in your Holy Spirit to be with them. We thank you for those that are on the line and those that will be participating and sharing. We ask for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I open up the lines for testimonies and prayer requests, we want to open up in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. And Father, we cannot in and of ourselves understand your word, but we pray for understanding, and that as we read these words, that not only would we be convicted, but that, Lord, we would say, what must we do to be saved? Is our prayer, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And we ask it for his sake, and in his name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen, beloved. Again, I am Brother Yudi, your host tonight. If you would turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 28, Proverbs chapter 28. And verse 13. The scripture says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. What does that scripture mean to you? As we look into the scriptures in the book Steps to Christ Confession. So he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We need to understand what it means to cover our sins. Now, we want a biblical definition of the covering of sins. Now, who is it that is supposed to cover our sins? Well, we know that that individual is none other than our great high priest. Our great high priest, Christ, our Lord, he covers our sins. And we see that example that Christ covers our sins, not in that he cover our sins and he tries to make them up for us, but he covers our sins that have been repented of. That's important for us to understand. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Actually, no, let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. We're going to have a Bible study tonight if we can participate, unless Brother Akeem comes on, I'm not sure. But if he does, we'll give him the mic so he can start. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Speaking of Christ Jesus, it says, "And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Here we are told that we are able to make peace through the blood of Christ that was shed where? That was shed on the cross. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. The Bible says, "In him we have redemption through his blood." So his blood that was shed on the cross, because of this blood, we have redemption. That word redemption, R-E-D-E-M-P-T-I-O-N, means to be purchased. Christ, by the shedding of his blood, purchased you and me. Now, why did we need to be purchased? It was because we were in slavery, in captivity to sin. And if we are in captivity to sin, then we are in captivity to Satan. His blood purchased us back. His blood gave us forgiveness of our sins in accordance with the riches of God. We also see another scripture as I open up the lines for testimonials in Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9, verse 14, the Bible reads, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from secret works that leads to death, so that we may serve the living God." Now, this is interesting that the blood of Christ gives us redemption. The blood of Christ gives us forgiveness. Through the blood of Christ and through his Spirit, he offered himself and he cleansed our consciences from dead works. Cleansing our consciences from dead works. Here in Hebrews 9, verse 14, we see a type of language that we utilize in dealing with the sanctuary. Christ cleanses the sanctuary. He is cleansing the sanctuary. But what is Christ cleansing the sanctuary of? Sin. Now, if Christ is cleansing the sanctuary of sin, then there has to be a point where we stop sending sin up to the sanctuary. So there has to be a point where we stop sending sin up to the heavenly sanctuary. But I want to open up with this thought tonight as we look at confession. The conditions of obtaining the mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. There are many who think that in order for them to be accepted of God, that there must be a lot of hardship, a lot of work that has to be done. But notice what this says, and this is from the pen of inspiration. The conditions of obtaining the mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us, to do some grievous thing in order that we may have forgiveness. We do not need to make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances. Now, the Roman Catholic Church prides itself in penances, meaning you got to pay in order to gain something, right? This says we need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven, or to expiate our transgression, but he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. Now, this is interesting, beloved, because I don't think we understand what the prophet is saying here. The prophet is saying you don't need to do anything that is unjust and unreasonable in order to have the mercy of God. The Lord does not require you to do something grievous. He does not require you to make long prayers. But it says here, we do not need to make long, wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven or to expiate our transgression. But what do we need to do? But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy. I thank God for this word, because according to the Bible, all you need to do is to confess and to forsake. That's all. You don't need to do anything crazy to merit the mercy of God. You simply need to confess and forsake. Now, some people confess but don't forsake. Forsake means to stop doing the act that you confessed. Amen? So notice that this is a marked difference from what the teaching of Babylon is. The teaching of the fallen churches, primarily the Roman Catholic Church, is that you go to a priest, you confess to that priest, and then you offer some penances. And then you maybe have to pay some money to the priest in order for you to be forgiven. But this says that we don't need to do that. We don't need to do anything grievous in order that we may have the forgiveness of God. We don't need to make long prayers. We don't need to say 8 Hail Marys. We don't need to perform painful penances. But all we need to do is confess and forsake. Confess and forsake. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, it says, the apostle says, confess your faults one to another and pray one to another. Now, it's okay for us to confess to another human being. But what this says is we need to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another. We confess our sins to God. But there are times that we sin against one another where we should say, brother, I please forgive me of what I did to you. Please forgive me because I spoke in the wrong way. Please forgive me because I shouldn't have said that, right? That's okay. But when we just go to God, knowing that we have wounded our brother, and not talk to them about what we have done, that is not Christ-like, all right? In fact, the scripture says in Matthew chapter 5, go to Matthew chapter 5 with me quickly. I want to show you this. Matthew chapter 5. And notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5. Then I'll open up for testimonials. Matthew chapter 5, I want to begin at verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, we're looking at verse 20. The servant of the Lord tells us that the people of God need more instruction on the plan of redemption. Did you hear what I say to you? In other words, there are many among God's church who do not understand the basics of forgiveness. You understand what I mean? There are people in God's church who do not see the power that is exhibited in forgiveness. And so, therefore, we need instruction on the plan of redemption. You know, because if we do not have instruction on the very basic, it might seem basic, but it's not. This is a deep, deep doctrine. In fact, this doctrine is so deep that the Roman Catholic Church would seem to confuse souls on it. I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless our righteousness go beyond the righteousness of what? Of a form of godliness. The Pharisees, the reason why Christ mentions the Pharisees here is because they had a form of godliness. Ye have heard that it was said, verse 21 of time of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be what? In danger of the judgment. So if you are angry with a brother without a cause, you are in danger of what judgment? That's the first angel's message. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, here's the key. If thou bring thy gift to the altar, what is the altar? The altar symbolizes what? Prayer. The altar of incense is a symbol of the prayers of the saints mingling with the righteousness of Christ. So the Bible says I want you to, if you write in your Bible, right next to altar, prayer. Therefore, when thou bring thy gift to the prayer, when you come to pray, all right, because we don't bring gifts to altar anymore, do we? No, this is not the old covenant, but this symbolizes prayer. Therefore, when you go to pray, that's how it should read. And as you are praying, you remember that thy brother had aught against thee. What the Bible say to do? Leave there thy gift before the altar. In other words, stop praying. When you go to pray and you remember that you did something against someone else, stop praying. All right? Go your way first. What does the Bible say? First. That means prayer does not come before this. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer that gift. Did you see that, beloved? In other words, let me explain to you what's going on here. When you go to pray to God and you are living in a state of unforgiveness, whether you have wounded a brother by your words or by action, if you have not made up with that brother or that sister first, you have no business praying. Because the Bible says, first, go reconcile with that person, and then, guess what? Then come and pray. Why? Because the Bible says, forgive us our debts as we forgive those that trespasses against us. In other words, if you cannot forgive your brother, God will not forgive you either. Are you following? Or if you have not asked for forgiveness for the fault that you have committed against the individual, therefore your prayers cannot even pass your ceiling. God cannot accept them. And so, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to open up the line tonight for those that want to share. Push the one. Right now, I see no one pushing one. Push one, and we're going to continue with this study this evening. I do not see Brother James as of yet, but nonetheless, push number one. Those that want to share, push one on your phone keypad. Hoping you guys can hear me. And I'll open up your line to share your testimonies. We need more instruction on the salvation, is what the servant of the Lord says. All right, I'm waiting for those to push one. I will continue reading this. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults one to another. If you have given offense to your friend or your neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. If you have given offense to your brother, you should acknowledge your wrong, meaning you should go and say, brother, I am wrong. Sister, I am wrong. Sister, I am wrong. Sister, let's pray. Sister, let's that. The issue that is killing our power, the issue that is killing the church, is the spirit of unforgiveness. And because we are living in sin, we are not convicted of our sins. When our consciences are becoming hardened, this is what's happening to the church. And yet, beloved, there are ministers who are fighting amongst one another. There are ministers who are, in the name of present truth, going against each other, but yet they are standing in the pulpit of God and speaking for God. Beloved, Christ does not appreciate such ministries. It doesn't matter how much they're flourishing, because we are told that the enemy also has ministers. Did you know that? Satan has ministers. In fact, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're looking at the Bible tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice what the Bible says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I will begin at verse number 13. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. The Bible reads, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers," now who are the ministers of Satan? Those that are transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. There are many ministers who are pretending to preach the gospel, pretending to be sharing a very important message, right? But they are the ministers of Satan. Why? Because they use the tactics of Satan. Now, I read this morning in my personal devotion that the reason why Christ never condemned anyone, listen to me carefully, the reason why Christ never condemned anyone was because that was not his work to do. He says, even when Satan came, when Christ was resurrecting Moses in the book of Jude, it says that he did not bring a railing accusation against Satan. Now, let me ask you a question. Could Christ have accused Satan? The answer is yes. Would Christ have been right if he accused Satan? The answer is yes. Why did Christ not accuse him? Well, because he said, "The Lord rebuked thee." Do you understand the difference? He did not argue. He did not accuse. He did not condemn. He said, "The Lord will deal with you. The Lord rebuked thee." Beloved, Satan uses ministers today to to transform themselves into an angel of light. And if we do not have the eye salve, we will not be able to distinguish between the truth and the error. Now, do you know that there is truth and error mixed together? And that is the most deadly poisons. The poison that is most deadly is when truth and error are mixed together. Be careful, because there are ministries who sounds to be truth, but yet there's error mixing together. And what is that error? Using the tactic of Satan in order to do good work. The reason why Christ could not accuse Satan or condemn Satan is because Christ did not want to use Satan's tactics in order to do God's work. But today, the tactics of Satan are being used in order to do God's work. So we see here that Satan can transform into an angel of light. And we see that Satan also has ministers. Note this in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 15. Satan has ministers. And it's not just Joel Osteen. It's not just the Sunday ministers, but Satan has ministers within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Yes, he does, beloved. And on both sides, he has ministers on the present truth camp. He has ministers on the liberal camp. Be careful, because, beloved, we know for a fact that he has ministers on both camps. By the grace of God, we pray that we are not among his ministers. And some of Satan's ministers do not even know that they are Satan's ministers, because they think they're doing a great work. All right? But there are some who know for a fact that they are. Some of them are deceived, and deception is a horrible thing. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty freely to forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God. Did you see what Sister White writes here? First, you are to acknowledge your wrong to your brother, and then you are to seek the forgiveness of God. How many times we seek God's forgiveness first? Anytime something is done wrong to her, and you God first, God does not hear your prayers. God give us specific instruction. Beloved, I'm telling you, beloved, we have to follow what the Bible says. As we read in Matthew chapter 5, what did the Bible say? The Bible say, if you bring your gift to the altar and you realize you have done something wrong to your brother, leave the gift at the altar and go to your brother first. After you have reconciled with your brother, then come back to God and pray. That's the that is the instruction that we are given. We can't do it backwards and expect God to bless us. It's not going to happen. We must ask God for him to convict us of whom that we need to ask forgiveness for when we have committed faults. It says, Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God after you have asked your brother for forgiveness for your faults. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sin against his creator and redeemer. So did you see that? Are you understanding this point? So when you have wounded your brother, you have wounded who? God. Did you hear that? When you have wounded your brother, you have wounded God. Why? Because your brother or your sister is the property of God. And in injuring that brother or sister, you have sinned against his creator and redeemer. Now, this is why it's important. Because when we have sinned against a brother or sister, and we have not gone to them, then God is saying, wait a minute. I am wounded because you have wounded this brother or sister who is my property, who I have died for and I own by creation and by redemption. Therefore, God is saying, why are you on your knees praying to me when you have not gone to your brother or sister? Is that plain, beloved? It's plain. It says, the case brought before the only true mediator, and the great high priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet, and who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Those who have not humbled their souls before God and acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. I want to pause right here. So what is the first condition of us being accepted to God? Going to our brother and then going to God. If we're not willing to humble ourselves by going to our brother, then we have not fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. That means then that if we are in a state of unforgiveness, God cannot accept us. Whether we know Bible prophecy, whether we tithe an offering, whether we go to a present truth church, whether we listen to present truth messages, whether we wear letters, whether we do not eat meat, if we have not humble our souls before God and acknowledging our wrong, if we have not humbled our soul before our brother and sister and acknowledging our wrong, it doesn't matter what we do, God cannot accept us. In fact, I want to show you what the Bible says about pride. What the Bible says about pride. Because pride is what causes us not to humble our hearts. Did you know that Lucifer, we are told in prophecy, that Lucifer came to the point of repentance. Did you know that? And as Lucifer recognized that he had sinned and that he should have asked for forgiveness, Lucifer, patriarchs and prophets, told that pride would not let him. He would not humble his heart to say, I have sinned. He would not humble his heart to say to the angels, I have committed faults. And as a result, the Lord hate the proud, but he giveth grace to who? To the humble. Let's look at the scripture. Let's look at the scripture. And then we will open up. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs. Let's do first Peter, James chapter 4, sorry. Let's do James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible reads, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. God resists. You know what resist means? He does not accept. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Love it. One thing I learned a long time ago, and I thank God for this, is to not hold grudges. You could do something to me today, and by the grace of God, by tomorrow, I say, Lord, I cannot hold on to this. Take it, because if I hold on to grudges, then I am the person suffering. So sometimes people go on with their life for many years and forgot that they ever did something to you, but you're holding on to a grudge, and as a result, you never are healed. Many people are sick because of unforgiveness. Many diseases is because of the spirit of unforgiveness. Many are unhappy because of unforgiveness. We are told that in the ministry of healing. It's called the healing for the soul, I believe. And we are told that the spirit of unforgiveness is a cancer that eats and eats and eats. Simple instruction according to the spirit of prophecy needs to be given on the plan of salvation. These things might seem elementary to you, but there are people who have forgotten all about them. We're going to continue by opening up the line tonight, 225-337. Your line is open, 225-337. Your line is open.
Amen, Brother Judy. I want to thank you for opening my line. This is Sister Leola, and I am traveling right now. And I want to thank you, Brother Judy, for your prayers, because truly, God answers prayers sometime in a hurry, and sometime it may be a prayer for later on in life. So I just want to thank God for your prayers and everyone else's prayers. And I'm continuing to ask you to pray for me, because I got about 3 more hours, maybe 4 hours to get home. And, you know, these holidays, we've seen accidents, Brother Judy, because we had heavy fog and people was laid out on the ground. And I said, Lord, now what is going on there? And I say, what a weird accident, because these cars are going one way. And how could there be such terrible accident going one way? So I just want to thank God for blessing all of us for going through another week and keeping us and watching over us, protecting us, providing for us. I just praise God. I thank you. I lift you and your wife up to the Lord in prayer all the time. And I just want to thank God for all of our brothers and sisters that we pray for one another, because when I hear we're praying for my son Jarvis, and I just want to share, Brother Judy, that by God's grace he's in jail right now, and these days it's very cold. So I just say, well, Lord, I'm thankful, because I went looking for him, and that was Friday, and the guy told me, well, call the jail, he may be in the parish jail. So I did. And he is. So they say, you're going to get him out? I'm not, no. Because at this time, it is cold, and they are still on the street. So I'm just asking for prayers to continue to pray for my son Jarvis and all our children, especially these young men, and that that when I go out there, I see these young men just back and forward. Brother Udy, some of them look so sad, but yet they don't know how to come from out the street, so we just got to keep lifting them up before God. And I want to thank everyone for their prayers for Ray and I traveling mercy, and also for his mother and his sister. And I just thank you. And so, Brother Yuli, that's all I have to say, and all I can say is amen, and God bless.
Amen, and thank you, loving Father. We want to lift up the Brother Jarvis before you at this time in the jail cell where he is. Father, we know we have been praying for him, and we are asking for your spirit to go right now, Lord, and prick his heart where he is. Bring back to his mind, dear Father, that you are his property. Bring back to his mind that you were created, that he was created in your image, and the enemy would cause this image to be marred, dear Father. That he would have a thirst and a desire for righteousness, Lord. That he would open up the Bible and read, and you would melt his heart within himself, dear Father. That he would cause this young man to turn back to you, dear Father. We know that our prayers are not lost. So I pray, Lord, that you would please send your angels at this time. Be with this ministry as we are lifting up, dear Father, the convocation, those that are on this line tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we are continuing to share tonight. I'm waiting for others to push one as we continue to study this little book, Steps to Christ, on the chapter Confession. And I'm asking for those that are on to push one for a prayer request or testimonials that you may have. Maybe a song, maybe a quotation from the Spirit of Prophecy. Push one, and we will open up your line. And it continues, it says, if we have not experienced, amen, amen, that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin. If we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. I'm going to break this down. It says, if we have not experienced that repentance, which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring, that word abhorring means to hate, hating our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sins. Have you ever plead with God? Have you ever cried? Have you ever been so convicted? This is what it's talking about. It says, if we have not had this humiliation and this brokenness of spirit, and if we have never sought for this in prayer, in the morning, in the evening, then we have never found the peace of God. Beloved, we need the peace of God. We are told that David was the highest of the high when he confessed his sins. That even when he killed the Goliath, when he won that great battle, that David was higher when he had confessed his sins. We're going to open up the next caller's line, 401-919. The line is open, 401-919. The line is open.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Yudi, for opening up my line. I heard those encouraging words from Steps to Christ and the earlier readings that you had on. Yes, a wonderful, powerful book. I believe that should have been the first book that we should have read and digested. Steps to Christ, how we can get closer to Christ in every aspect that will make our life much better as Christians. I just want to sing a song. It's an old Adventist song. I'm not sure it's in a new church hymnal, but I hold on to my old church hymnal, and I do not want to lose sight of these songs. It's called Just Over the Mountain.
Just over the mountain in the promised land lies the holy city built by God's own hand. Has a weary footstep gained the mountain crest, we can view our homeland of eternal rest. We are nearing home. We are nearing home. See the splendor gleaming from the dunes afar. See the glory streaming through the gate ajar. Yeah, we soon will enter nevermore to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are near, rain home. We are near, rain home. In the rose of the prophet,
we have long been told of that wondrous city with its streets of gold. Now with raptured vision we can see it there, with its walls of jasper and its mansions fair. We are near, we are near, in near, in home. We are near, we are near, in home. See the splendor gleaming from the domes afar. See the glory streaming through the gates ajar. Yeah, we soon will never, never more to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are near, rain home. We are near, we are near, rain home. My brother, my sister, will you meet us there? In that land of sunshine, where there be no care, accept of God's message and to Him be true. Then when Jesus cometh, He will call for you. We are near, we are near, in near, in home. We are near, we are near, in home. See the splendor gleaming from the domes afar. See the glory streaming through the gate ajar. There we soon will enter nevermore to roam. Hear the angels singing, we are near, rain home, we are near, we are near, rain near, rain home.
Thank you, my brother.
Amen. I definitely want to learn that song. Never heard it before, but this is a powerful song. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are nearing. We are nearing. Home. We are near home, beloved. We must get our lives in order. We must get our lives in order as we are nearing home. 518-951, your line is open. 518-951, your line is open.
Okay, good night, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell calling from upstate New York. Thank you, Brother Yudi, for opening our line, and good night. Thank you for the reading, because God said, thank God for His word. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. So it's a good thing that we have a loving Father that we can confess all our sins to and have that faith and believe that He hears. And He told us what He will do. And He also said in James 4:16, we must also confess your faults one to another and also pray for one another that ye may be healed. And He also said, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we have a Heavenly Father who is there, and He promised us all the riches that we need so that we can enter into that eternal rest with Him when He comes. He also said, when I listened a while ago, the song Brother Elder Richardson's song, we are nearing home, that just over the mountain to the promised land. This is a song that I love dearly. And as we are nearing home, you know, and also looking for the second coming of Christ, and the only thing that we have to trust and believe that He is able to help us, that we all get victory over all our sin. Also said in John 5:17, we be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patient for it, until he receive the earthly and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draw it nigh. So God wants our heart. God wants us to wait patiently upon him, and also to do his will. And all these things come to confess our sin, want to confess our sin to him, and know within ourselves that we have a heavenly Father who will guide and lead and protect us. My prayer tonight is to pray for family members, my family. Pray for our church, because we have seen and know what is going on. We have been reading it, different things the devil is using. Pray for our leaders in our church, from the general conference to the local churches, the union. Pray for this session. Right now we are in a holiday season, and the world is celebrating. There are different, the Christmas, their world is celebrating it. Help us that we can pray for one another. Be always thankful to God for what he has done for both ourselves and our family members. Thank you for opening my line. God bless.
Amen. Thank you very much for sharing, Sister Power, and for calling in this evening. We will continue to pray. We are in the 10-minute mark before we close. Is there anyone else at this time who would like to share a prayer request, a testimony, a song? Please do so now by pushing one. Please do so now by pushing one. Amen. We have caller 225 again, 315. 225, 315. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Sister Nelda from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I just want to give God thanks and praise for a situation that happened with my son. He's 37 years old, and he got baptized when he was about 10. And when he got into his late teens, he kind of strayed away from the church. He never really came back to that Adventist faith. He, from time to time, will visit, and he, from time to time, will go to Sunday churches. But I've been praying with him, and I've been studying with him, and he's been going through a real hard time lately, him and my grandchildren. But something happened a couple of days ago, and he came, and he was so excited to tell me. We're studying Great Controversy. He got arrested about a year and a half ago. And he was in the county jail, I would say, for about a month. So during that process, you know, they get really bored and they need, you know, something to read or whatever. So I sent him The Great Controversy to read and some other books. And he started reading it, but I know that he never really completed it. Once he got out, he just, I don't even know if he knows where the book is today. But the house that he's living in now, it was a house that I gave him earlier this year. And my nephew previously, maybe about 5 years ago, lived in that house. And my nephew at that time has been incarcerated for the last maybe 3 years. And I don't know who he was studying with, but he was studying with someone. And my son called me to say, "Mom, you would never believe this." A couple days ago, and I said, "What?" He said, "You remember that book, The Great Controversy, that you sent me when I was in jail?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Somebody sent it to Damon," which is my nephew, "or current resident." So he was really excited about getting that book. And he told me that he was going to start studying it. And I invited him to come on the study line with us on Mondays. And I told him that we were actually studying The Great Controversy. So he said that he might do it. So I just thank God that God's word is going through. We can send the word to our families, and we can pray for them, and we can ask them to study. But when God gets ready to do something in his time, he will. So I'm just thankful that he got the book and he was excited about it.
Indeed. And your name again, sister? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
Sister Nelda from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us, Sister. We ask that you will continue to join us on this prayer line ministry. We are at the 6-minute mark. It's now 8:54 p.m. Eastern Time. And we are asking for the rest of you that are on to share and to give your prayer request and your testimonials. But better yet, we should probably close out in prayer if there's no one else. I'm going to finish the paragraph, and then we're going to close out and ask the Lord to help us. It reads, "The only reason why we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the word of truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way or forced from those who have no realization of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, 'The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken spirit.' The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. True confession is always specific in character and acknowledges particular sins." Meaning when you go to bed at night, you need to acknowledge, "Lord, I have done this, this, this. Lord, I have done that." We need to be specific in our confessions. "They may be of such of a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that should be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them, or they may be of a public character and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of his power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in his ability to defend and to vindicate his cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: 'We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king.' 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God." I'm going to end right here tonight as we are 3 minutes shy of 9 o'clock. We're going to close out with prayer. I'm asking if we can close out. And Elder Richardson, if you're able to close out the prayer for us tonight.
Yes.
The line is open.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Yudi. Heavenly Father, yet again, we are thankful and grateful to you, Father, for blessing us, dear God, with life and health and strength and home and shelter and food and every good gift and every perfect gift, Lord, come from you, dear God. And Lord, we are thankful and grateful and mindful in giving you all the praise and all the honor and the glory. We also are thankful for the trials, Lord, that tries us, Lord, as refineries fire to burn out the dross of sin, so we can, Lord, be pure, Lord, in our lives, in our characters, in our conversation, in our dressing,
in our appetite, in our daily deportment of life as we live each and every day, that we reflect the righteousness of Christ. Oh God, we are praying for all the prayers, all the requests, past and present, dear God, and even future in the name of Jesus, to believe that, God, you are a God that answers prayers in the morning, a God that answers prayers in the evening, a God that answers prayers in the noon, at night time, 24/7. God, and we thank you that we can approach you and come boldly unto your throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find help in this time of urgent need, oh God. I pray for each and every one on this prayer line, dear God. You know our needs, oh God. You know, Father, our day-by-day encounter with the enemy. God, that we know, Father, as long as we have the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, we have nothing to fear, dear God, because greater is He, the Spirit of God, in us than they that are in the world. And so, Lord, answer our prayers as we have made requests and as we have prayed for family, for those that are sick, dear God, for those who need healing of mind and body and of soul, oh God. I pray that your Holy Spirit will come in mighty power, Lord God, and bring, Lord, in your blessings and bring in your everlasting righteousness and peace and joy and victory to us each and every day, God. And I pray that you bless all what that is being implanted now, oh God, concerning, Father, we want to present to you the youth convocation weekend in January, dear God. I pray that your blessings, Father, be upon that weekend, that you will go before, Lord, and prepare the hearts of the presenters, oh God. And I pray for your blessings of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that will infuse and be imparted, dear God, upon the worshipers, those that are coming together from far and near. We are praying also for good weather, dear God, for those that have to travel. And I pray, Lord, that everything will work out accordingly, dear God, that our hearts and souls, God, will be lifted up and be strengthened and be drawn closer to you. Bless us all and help us all to be faithful. And, dear God, I pray that you will bless our ministry prayer lines, dear God, that the brothers and sisters that comes on our prayer line will be encouraged, Lord, and that they will be strengthened, dear God, that we can provoke each other unto love and good works. Continue to bless Brother Yudi. Be with him, dear God, in his relationship, dear God, first with you, dear God, that he will love, commit, and surrender his life to you. Bless his family, Sister Melissa and young Caleb. Bless them in a special way. Provide for them those things that are needful. Even, dear God, on his job, dear God, there are many things that the enemy are attacking. Dear God, I pray that you will bring deliverance, that you will bring strength, that you will give him the courage, dear God, and the discernment and the wisdom, Father, to encounter, dear God, the assaults of the enemy. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing upon each and every one of us. And as we go through this night, may we all have a pleasant night rest, Lord. And may we, by your grace, be faithful, Lord, to you to the end. And help us all, Lord, to trust and to surrender and to commit in laying all on the altar of sacrifice. And we thank you in thanksgiving to your name, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen, amen. And Father, we thank you again for the prayers, Lord, that has been uplifted this evening. Lord, we pray for health and strength on the behalf of those requests tonight. We pray for thine Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray that you will give us, dear Father, that former revival and reformation in our lives, Lord. We ask that you will give us the power, Lord. You would allow these individuals, your servants on this ministry, Lord, to be revived, to be touched with, amen, the feelings of their infirmities and to confess, Lord, our sins unto thee. Lord, we pray that you would revive our hearts and our minds, and you would bring us back to our former self, Lord. You would give us that initial fire that we had when we, amen, first met you. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing, what you will continue to do. Some of us, dear Father, have many things to handle each and every day, families that we have to handle, various things But dear Father, you said that to seek you first, the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. So, Father, we pray that you will touch the hearts of those that have listened to this line in time past and those that are listening even now. We thank you for those that are listening on the internet, those who listen online, those who have followed this ministry. Lord, please send us funds and help to be able to carry out this work. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you will give us the victory over this world, the victory over the things of this world, the victory over the systems of this world, that we would be able, Lord, to follow you all the way, that as the pioneers, we would be on fire for you, Lord, that we would be willing to walk miles and miles away to go tell others what a precious friend we have found in Jesus. We thank you for hearing and for listening and for answering our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, brethren, good night, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for the Great Controversy Study with Elder Richardson. Good night.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am.
I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of him all the day long. I speak, for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood.